Welcome to episode 48 of Skyjacks, Courier's Call. I'm your host and narrator, Drew Merzieski. I'm joined by Allison Grauer, Palomi Pertap, and Aaron Catano-Sayez to bring you a story of adventure, skyships, mail carriers, and kids, just like you. Last time, our wonderful couriers selected their prom outfits and masks from the old Swiftwell Manor House. Karen took a detour and discovered a strange apple tree. Captain Dennison received a gift from Olivia, and the morning of Audrin prom arrived at last, kicked off by an amazing breakfast in the Red Audrin Hall, cooked by Dennison himself. But what other mischief awaits our day as we count down the hours till the big event? Heed the call, couriers. Stand to, and let's fly!
Gone are the days when it was easy to ride,
singing way, hey-ho.
But the years haven't withered my joy and my pride,
singing way, hey-ho.
I've never been much for the pistol or blade,
singing way, hey-ho.
For the sun is my course and the sky is my trade,
singing way, hey-ho.
My mother, she told me that life would be fine if you're free with the water but savor the wine, and to never be hurried but always on time,
singing way, hey, ho, singing way, hey, ho.
As everyone is sitting there eating, enjoying, talking, having fun, a bell is rung. And Captain Dennison, who is behind the counter, basically is like,
"All right, my apprentices, my Red Audrin crew, welcome to an Audrin prom day. So, got a lot of work to do, a lot of things to get done, a lot of things we need to get done with the Red Audrin before..." I'm just kidding. It is a free day for all of you.
Captain, you had me.
That was like not funny, because absolutely I would have believed that.
Yeah.
Like 100%.
Like rolling up my sleeves. Like,
yeah, like, you know. I immediately was like, we gotta go.
I was ready to make my dancing shoes my working shoes, Captain.
At your order. I had a case of the Mondays, Captain.
Well, I appreciate you understanding my my very nature as it was. But was a joke. You all have a free day to do whatever you like. Just remember to be here at this building at sundown. We'll be taking pull carts up to the bird yard, where you'll get on birds with your dates, and then you will fly up to Audrin prom, and from there have fun.
Awesome.
That's it.
That's like two
be jokes. About your business. Go do what you like.
That was two right. Jokes in one date.
Thank you, Captain.
Yeah,
like that was two jokes in one conversation.
True.
Yeah,
true.
Like, he's in a great mood. Like, yeah, I've never slept like that well. I'm a little, I have to say it because I'm 14, I'm a little sus.
This is, I think, the first time in my years serving aboard the Red Audrin that I've seen Captain Dennison without dark circles under his eyes.
Yeah. It changes the whole shape of his face.
He looks like a different man.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks powerful. He looks cool.
I was
going to
say, do we know if he like trimmed his beard or something? But no, the dark circles.
The dark circles are gone. Dark circles,
yeah.
Dang.
Usually no light can make it into that area.
Just a void.
I void.
So you've never seen him like this before, Bobby Jean?
Not during the morning time.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out, like, I feel like something's going on, and it's not just prom. You know what I mean?
You think it's like the smoke rise here or something?
True.
Could be.
Smoke rise is mad good here. But also, like, it's prom, y'all. Like, who wouldn't be super excited to watch us, like, dance and have fun tonight? Because Dennison's going to be, like, a chaperone. So, like, who wouldn't be in a good mood? I'm in a good mood.
You're right. It's probably the inherently joyous activity of chaperoning a teen dance.
Yeah, right? Like, it's incredible. The idea of standing in a dark corner while really loud music that you don't like plays and watching children dance. Like, who wouldn't be hyped?
Well, I'm glad we solved that mystery right away.
Well, thanks, everybody. Can't wait for season 3.
So we see the rest of the Red Audrin get up, they all just kind of put their plates into like a wash basin. Nobody cleans anything. They all just leave as quickly as they possibly can. And we see that there is Bobby Jean, June, Kieran, Cece, and Braith. Braith, where are you this morning?
I think Braith showed up a little bit late to breakfast, soon, like late enough to you know, stroll in, grab some food. And I think he just kind of made a little breakfast sandwich and is now walking with the group.
A sensible adult breakfast.
You got to be mobile.
Yeah.
As the five of you kind of head outside, put your coats on, your earmuffs, your hats, it is a crystalline day. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. There's that cold, crisp feel to the air. Freshly fallen snow everywhere. You see there are people outside that are like shoveling walks to make sure that people can go places. So my question is for all of you, how do you spend this free day that you have?
I want to build a snow fort. I feel it's very important because it doesn't snow very often in Thornville, and it certainly doesn't snow very much enough to have forts and snowballs.
I think this is Kieran's first rare. Snow.
It's Kieran's first snow?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Kieran. Nice.
Like, it gets kind of
Kieran,
frosty
tell us
in
what you think of
but not
snow.
Like a full blanket of snow. I think Kieran's cold. Kieran is not prepared for how wet snow is. I think that's kind of like a big thing. They're walking around with their friends and they kind of just stop and are like, "I have a question."
You have a question?
Is snow wet?
Mm. Yes.
I mean, like, yeah, it's like water and air and cold.
Like, inherently, yes.
Yeah.
But it looks like so soft.
It is soft.
But it's wet.
Jean, like, bends down and scoops up a bunch in her gloves and offers it to Kieran.
Kieran, like, paps it.
Mm-hmm.
And looks at their glove. This confuses me.
Oh, it's confusing. No lie.
Okay. Yeah, Kieran, you can see all, like, the individual little snowflakes on your dark gloves. And you see that it's made up of a bunch of tiny little bits of ice together. Looking at snow, you look at it and think, oh, it's one solid mass, but it's not. It's made out of so many little things.
June is patting the snow in her gloves and rolling it together.
What are you doing?
Nothing. Why?
Okay, what are you doing? I'm more concerned now. Kieran's gonna scoop up some snow and start doing the same thing, unsure of what this is.
June stops walking so that the others kind of drift ahead and then chucks the snowball at Braith. I think it doesn't hit well, but I think it hits maybe like the back of your arm or the back of your shoulder or something.
It hits in that movie way that just splatters across like the side of your shoulder, Braith. Mm-hmm. Not doing any damage, not really clinging to anything because it's all kind of fresh, powdery snow. But it does that. That puff as it hits you.
Like a puff. And it, like all of it just kind of like puffs past his face. Mm-hmm. And of course, because it puffs past his face, he turns and it catches in his hair. And the light hits just perfectly in like the grossest way, like just the hottest, grossest way possible.
And the sunlight sparkles on the bits of ice crystal that hang in the air.
Slow motion.
Yeah, it's magical.
June is already bent over gathering more snow for another one because that's the rule of starting a snowball fight is you have to be ready. You have to be reloaded before your enemy has begun to play.
So
June misses this, but Kieran is right there.
Braith is looking at June, Kieran, and Cece, and Kieran is the only person with a snowball in their hands.
Yes.
Oh. and Braith says, "Oh, it's on. I don't know what just happened."
Well, I'm thinking I'm back.
Here's what I'd love to do. I think this becomes a Inter-Audrin snowball fight.
Yes.
This becomes a snowball war that happens for the rest of the day.
Yes. This
is all the other Audrins join in. It's a big thing. I want us to all draw luminaries to see how our fates.
We like build fortifications and like.
Oh, absolutely.
We're directing squadrons.
We have like a castle in the snow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So first things first, June, do you want to draw and see what your fate for this Inter-Audrin snowball war is?
The Star Watcher.
Ooh.
Star Watcher. I think this makes you our tactician.
I think so.
Yeah, guidance, wisdom, and clarity.
Yeah. So like this whole event becomes a massive Inter-Audrin war with snow.
With a single snowball.
Mm-hmm. And June is like, I think we do this jump cut to us behind our fortified zone. And like June is barking orders and gesturing and like doing intricate hand signals to indicate where we should focus our efforts and defenses. It's like capture the flag, but with snow. Like we've got there's a lot going on. And June is like up on the ridge, like watching and like indicating where people are coming in through the trees and stuff.
Cece, pull Illuminary, see what happens.
I got the...
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to determine how much of a spoiler this is, because this Luminary technically doesn't exist yet.
Oh.
So, I can roll again.
No, I kind of like, let's just edit out the name of the Luminary.
Just do a beep.
Oh, yeah. We'll do a sensor beep.
Yeah, and this is, we can leave this in. Audience, this Luminary doesn't exist yet.
The Luminary you're trying to reach does not exist yet.
But it's
please try
forming.
Again.
It's forming.
Yep.
Oh,
I love that.
Perfect. It's time for my reign. Cece is on the top of the battlement of this castle, like on this big snow tower that's built out of a tree stump, hands on hips, just cackling and occasionally just screaming like, fire! And like, you know, not really doing anything, but she's envisioning that she's on the back of a horse, like just screaming like, you know, get that person some heels, but using MMORPG terminology like, Kieran needs a snow res. I need more buffs. Throw dots. More dots. Okay, stop dots. I'm divvying up DKP. Cece feels this mysterious power wash over her, and every time she throws out her hand, this purple electricity fires out, because that's what the beep does.
Kieran.
I got the rake.
Hey.
Oh!
Hum.
I like that hum was more like...
Hum.
Yeah. Greed, appetite, cruelty, and resentment. Kira's a warlord over here.
I know what happens.
With Kieran.
I know what happens.
Like, what is snow?
Yeah. Kira's like, what is snow? And this war breaks out, and then suddenly Kieran just creates their own faction within the Red Audrin segment of the war.
I think there's more than just the Red Audrin. I think there's like, there's Yellow Audrin kids in there and Black Audrin kids. I think you put together like a fifth army.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the Trans Audrin army.
Yeah. This guerrilla warfare.
Yeah. We're legitimately hiding in trees, like hoarding snowballs in trees. There's a winch system that's deployed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is, you said war.
Yeah. Kieran's like, oh, I know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like it's time to fight.
Mm-hmm.
We see like Bran not involved in the snowball fight at all, just like standing around like enjoying a hot cider, and then just hands come up behind him with a snowball in them and like smother his face in the snow.
Brutal.
Fed being like, Bran, what happened? I don't know.
Amazing.
Bobby Jean
is gonna get the perfect crime.
Yes.
So this, I kind of had this idea before we even established the snowball fight, but this is exactly what's happening. There's chaos. Every child of every Audrin is involved in this, which means that the guard, generally speaking, in the adult world has dropped. They feel like the kids are taking care of themselves. We don't need to keep an eye out. So while the war is going on, Bobby Jean approaches the Sugar Shack. He approaches the place where they are refining and distilling maple syrup.
Oh.
And he is like, while the war is going on, he is like sneaking jugs of maple syrup out of this shack and like, you know, mostly, I think acting like almost like a war profiteer. He's going to the various sides and he's making the maple syrup lollipops that you make by pouring on the snow and like rolling a stick around in it. But of course, this is the Honey Smokes variant of that. So you spice it too. Mm. So you get like a little paprika in there. You get some pepper flakes. You get, you know, various spice blends that you throw in these. So you've got that delicious maple sweet taste with a little hint of spice, and it's good stuff. And, you know, there is no money within here, but like the favors are piling up.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is so Craig of the Creek. I love it.
Can I?
We've got, yeah, we see Bobby like just sort of cackling with like a maple spread in front of him and favors piling up behind him. It's not money, it's favors.
They're just stacks
like little,
of paper.
Like almost Okus tokens that people are giving you.
Ooh,
for like,
yeah.
Here, I get this back when I do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
For you. I also think Sleazus is helping you.
Oh, Sleazus is for sure helping me.
Palomi, you had something?
I did. If I can jump onto this really quick.
Yes. Please.
Oh, please, Palomi.
Just within the rake. I think at some point, Bobby comes back to the Sugar Shack. Karen is like leaning against the inside wall. And it's just like, I see what you're doing here.
I don't know what you mean, Squeaky.
I got a deal.
I'm just
for
enjoying
you.
My crisp winter day.
I've got a deal for you.
All right, what kind of deal are you talking about, Ral?
All those tokens? I know where to get more.
What are you talking about? I served every kid on every side of this conflict. There isn't a favor left out there.
Karen kind of like fishes in their pocket, pulls out a hand, and there's like 3 tokens in their hand. Doesn't matter how they got them.
I can give you more of these if you do me a favor.
Well, well, well. Asking for a favor already. All right, I'm game.
You see all those lollipops you're making?
Mm-hmm.
What if, just so happened, that the spice blend in them, you know, got a little too spicy?
Well, then I think people would not enjoy themselves as much with them.
Not like painfully spicy, but like, oh man, you know, turn it up a little bit. Raise the stakes, so to speak.
Bobby like squints and the camera goes like real close up on his face. I think like Kieran's like staring back, the camera's real close up on their face, flips between the two of them, and then Bobby just starts laughing, just starts cackling.
I think Kieran starts to giggle too, just like, what's happening?
like Bobby like just very suddenly will grab Kieran's hand.
You got yourself a deal.
All right.
Wraith, I think it's your turn.
Give me those cards. The children.
The children.
Consequence, inevitability, eternity.
Oh, no.
I would like, we can put this in whatever order you want, but I would like an opportunity for him to bring justice to someone in this shenanigan.
Hello, couriers, and welcome to The Mid-Roll. I'm Drew, your host and narrator. We wanted to take a brief pause to say thank you for all of you being here and being a part of our story. We couldn't do it without you. And now, since we have no other particular announcements this week, let's get back in the sky.
Singing way, hey.
I want Braith to go get his bird, tie a blanket full of snow to its feet so it can drop kind of an air raid on someone.
Oh, my God.
Braith.
Yeah.
You've just added like a nuclear option to this war.
Yes, I have.
Because once you do that, the other Audrins get the same idea.
Oh.
And all the birds are involved.
Not Audrin war crimes, no.
Oh, my gosh.
And now that Braith has done this, they have other Otterns like, let's go get birds. So they rush to the bird yard, and now it is an aerial dogfight, like dropping snow. It is chaos. It's absolute chaos. It started with one snowball.
It is the Wild West out
there
now.
There's bird poop.
Escalations of tactics and particular weaponry as it goes on and on and on. And we see this entire war happen throughout the day. It is getting to be like late afternoon at this point. And there's an entire contingent of like the Grey Audrin that was like, we're going to stop. It's too hot. The things you gave us are too hot. We have to go do something else. And so like they're off
face
doing
first
that
in the snow.
We see the birds like flying through the air and everything. And I think the thing that kind of ends the war is that the captains get involved.
Oh, my God.
No.
This is the best prom ever.
And it looks to be, because I think there's a main skirmish happening on the No Man's Land in this big field where the battle has been happening all day long. And we see, like, Captain Dennison and Jaegermund and Mulden Foxskull and Wiltham Knott and Allegria Canticle all come forward, and they're like, what's going on here? And, like, everything kind of stops. as they're standing there.
Drew, I have a very important question, and this actually goes out to all the group.
Please, please.
Who throws the snowball at?
At them? Yeah. I was waiting God, my
Karen.
Turn.
It's Karen. It's Karen.
So we see
no gods,
as the captain goes,
no masters. There are no kids!
And with that, we see this snowball fly over and hit Dennison like full in the beard.
Oh yeah, full, we get this slow motion. Shot. We can see his like face rippling and the snow exploding.
And we see him like stagger a little bit and stand up and like go silent for a second. And the captain goes, well then, there's only one thing to do. And he picks up a snowball and throws it. And the rest of the captains like pick up, they've all had snowballs behind their backs. And they pull them forward and begin to jump in and fight.
Yeah, Allegrea like opens their jacket and there's just like
a rack of
straps
snowballs.
Of snowballs.
Allegrea's like, I cut my teeth on this kind of war.
And we see that this final kind of push where all the Audrons meet in the center and fight this giant snowball war. One last shot of everybody in this final battle. June, what are you doing?
June is like sliding down the embankment of our you know, fortress that we've built and like waving. There's like a branch from one of the trees that she's waving to like point people in the right direction. She's scooping up snow with it like it's a lacrosse stick and flinging it at people because it's got a really nice bend to it. Mm-hmm. And the snow is still light enough and wet enough that she can kind of just whip it at people's ankles and stuff, down the backs of people's coats. She's just running through everything and like reveling in the chaos, I think.
Cece, what are you doing?
Cece is in a full movie where like she's just in a battle rage. You hear, oh, in the background as she's like throwing snowballs, and finally this unarmed weak soldier lays in front of her. She looks down with a snowball in her hand and it's Cephas, and then she says, get out of here, and he scurries off and she spares him, but then someone totally whips one in her back. She's like falls to her knees as the music reaches its climax and she falls down in the snow and makes an angel.
Perfect.
Kieran, what are you doing?
I think Kieran is like throwing snowballs at Cephas until they're buried. As they're
the worst week of this kid's life. This is the absolute worst week for Cephas.
Cephas broke off from the group.
Spare Cephas only for Cephas to get completely murked.
And I think Kieran turns around to run, runs full on into Bran.
Oh, no.
We see Bran go, I know it was you, Kieran. I knew it was you. And we see him, like, pick you up, Kieran.
Bran, we can talk about this. Bran, I promise we can talk about this.
And Bran puts you over his head and throws you into a snowbank.
There's, like, a Kieran-shaped hole in the snowbank.
Yes.
Braith, what are you doing?
Braith is in a steep dive on his bird, swooping down towards the retreating backs of one of the other Audrons. You can decide.
Oh yeah,
who.
It's the Grey Audron. The Grey Audron broke long ago.
Okay, great. Yeah, no, they're trying to run away. There's, you know, a few stray snowballs headed their way, but nothing's really hitting because they're just far enough away that they're in the fresher snow and they're headed towards their bunks, I assume, to, you know, brush off all this snow and put warm clothes on again. And Braith flies up, and the bird, you know, when birds are approaching the ground, they do really big wing beats that can dust up some wind. He just sends a hurricane at their backs and knocks them down with bird wings.
I have a minor request. That is, obviously snow forts have been built up.
Yep.
I do kind of feel like, since we've introduced the birds, that Braith has to be going on a trench run.
Gotcha.
Has to be. Like.
Has to be. Has to be.
Snowballing a high-value bird target. And three birds from other Audrons, like, show up behind him, uh-huh, chasing him. And they're about to take him out before he can throw this final snowball. Mm-hmm. And then his prom date does show up on another bird.
Oh, Ulrich?
Yeah.
So we see you do that, like, you send that hurricane, and then the bird kind of twists over and goes into like a gully where there's a bunch of kids like throwing snowballs. You're like making this kind of trench run. And we see exactly that where there are other like birds. We see Otis Rathfin on like a black otter bird going, I have you now.
And he's, I really want to point out, bundled up so that you can't see his face and there's goggles. And
yeah, dark tinted goggles. Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, Ulrich, your prom date, swoops in on like a large bird. They're like, that's not fair. We said no large birds. And just drops snow on them and they all have to pull off. And he's like, all right, kid, go for it.
Yeah, and at the very end of the trench, who's at the very end of the trench that's going to get like just the one snowball Braith has left?
Oh, my gosh. So at the very end of this trench is Wiltham Knott and the rest of the Grey Audrin like trying to get away. So you like got around them. And so this final snowball is right to Wiltham Knott. And I feel like it's, again, one of those slow motion, like hits in the middle of Wiltham's back as they go down slow motion. And the Grey Audrin's like, we give up, we give up, we give up.
The final blow.
And Bobby Jean, what is this last bit for you?
Bobby Jean is sitting on like a snow throne, tinkling with favor tokens in his jacket and whatnot. We see him pouring out another like little maple popsicle for himself. We see him like wrapping up the heated maple and creating it. He brings it to his mouth, and he looks at it, and then he looks at the jar next to him, and he looks at the jar just out of reach from him, and he like leans over, turns that jar around, and that jar says snackin' syrup on it. And then, terrified, he reaches to the closer jar and turns around, and it says spicy syrup.
Oh, no.
And we see his face slowly turn red. And she starts to sweat. And then, like, we just see him dip his head into the snow and steam rise up as he has been hoisted by his own petard.
It's like a muffled scream.
As this final push is happening, this final battle, we see everyone in the... All of these things are happening. We see Captain Dennison in the middle of it all, like, throwing snowballs. We see Allegria Canticle and Molt. We see Molten, like... He's actually animated a couple of snowmen.
Yeah.
to like go and do things. It's chaos. And they're all meeting in the middle. And then there's a boom, boom of a bell far off in the distance. And everyone stops as they look. And we see Allegria Canticle turn and go, all right, everyone, that's enough. Go get ready for prom. And everyone's like, yeah. And they all rush away, leaving the rest of you kind of to your own devices in this moment. I would love to see the three of you, Kieran, June, and Cece, kind of like as everyone is now running away, running off to go get ready for prom. You guys know you got to go get ready. What are you guys doing?
I think June hones in on where Cece is and then where Kieran is and like gets into those long strides of running through the snow. And goes to scoop them up and get them out of the zone of chaos.
I think for Kieran, there's like this overhead shot of where they're lying in the snowbank as it just sort of pulls out slowly and they're staring up at the sky. And then we see June's arm kind of come into their field of vision and help them up.
Cece has done so many snow angels and is getting so excited and is doing them faster and faster, has melted all the snow around her. But lifts up an arm just as June's about to scoop her up. And they lock arms and prance off into the distance.
So we see the three of you begin to run off. And I think the camera is on your backs as you go. These bright smiles on your faces. Everyone has rosy cheeks and has that adrenaline high of running and doing exercise and being kids. And as the camera kind of pans to the side, we see Cephas, like his legs in the snowbank, kicking as he's kind of left on his own. I think we fade to black.
Oh, no. Oh, someone help Cephas. I think Kieran will help Cephas if his legs are kicking.
Cephas got to help himself.
We see a little open at the bottom of the screen, that little like black hole open where we see Kieran come back and like pull Cephas out, and then it goes back.
I've bargained with madmen who claim to be kings. Singing way, hey, ho. And I've seen the destruction their tempers can bring. Singing way, hey, ho. I've ridden the winds over mountain and plain. Singing way, hey, ho. Just to circle the coast and curse the mariner's name. Singing way, hey, ho. My father, he told me to never deceive. Be a voice to the hopeless and help those in need. And to never be thankful for what you've received. Singing way, hey, ho. Singing way, hey, ho.
At the bottom of the Red Aldrin, there is a cute little door. If you were to open that door, well, no, not that door, the one next to it, you would enter the mail room, where the mail gets sorted by three kids. Those kids, why, their careers. And their names are Cece, me, June, who's over there, and Kieran, who's over there. And they work in the office, but they're not working today. They're doing cool kid stuff.
Okay, so I've got like five different new butter dishes to choose from.
Okay. Oh!
I like this one because it has like kind of a nice sort of like egg speckled glaze on it. I think that's cool. Nice. But this one's pretty practical and simple. It just doesn't have like the spice, you know? Yeah. And then there are these other three that I tried.
You tried, yeah.
I tried.
You did.
So I know that we're supposed to just choose based on, you know, taste and instinct, right? Mm-hmm. But just for the sake of knowledge, is there like a massive price difference between any of these options?
No, because these were all
free. We do have
a
budget that we're working with for the office. So
these were 100% all free.
Wait, were they Kieran free or are they free? Like they don't cost money or like the five-finger discount of Kieran?
Definitely Kieran. Definitely the second option.
Okay.
You know?
The second option was a me thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah. Then you know,
we're in
me.
Sky it now. It's not like we can bring them back.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's not true. Like I even remember where these came
yeah.
from.
Yeah, who's to know?
Maybe this to you.
You never know. Those might have belonged to like Red Feathers or something, those butter dishes. So honestly, you're doing some hero stuff by
in
taking
my
those.
Defense, they weren't actively being used, so.
Okay.
They needed
no
butter
inside of them.
I guess artistically, we're looking at a difference between this one, which has the speckles, it's kind of rustic, kind of like an old farmhouse feel, and then this one is a little bit more clean, a little bit more modern, right?
Yeah, so. If you, it's like it becomes Antique Roadshow in this mailroom, and we start talking about, like, you know, if you look at the bottom, there's this beautiful patina on the farmhouse one, and that patina means that this is a real true antique. Well, this one's a little more modern, a little more like modern twists and flair on it, but both have intrinsic value.
You can tell also that the farmhouse one has some cracks inside of it. Whereas I do believe, and Kieran takes the lid off of the modern looking one and reveals a letter. This one.
Oh, whoa, Kieran, that was
Kieran.
Cool. You got
that was
us.
So good.
That was really good.
That was good.
Thanks. That was awesome.
I really set that one up, I feel like. And,
how long
and
did that take
paid
to
exquisite. Yeah.
Probably like a full 2 weeks for
half
me.
Oh
year.
My gosh.
But
the
I mean,
whole trip.
Probably half of a year. In fairness, I have been holding on to this letter for a while.
Oh. It's
burning
but
it paid off. It paid off. It
oh,
paid
yeah,
off.
Let's get in there. Let's
crack
read that.
Yeah.
That letter, please.
Paper sounds. Okay. So this says, "Hey squad. I'm writing because I'm having issues with my brother. He's a notorious prankster, and I'm very frustrated to feel like I'm constantly having to be on my guard." I didn't say that right. Anyway, while I do have my own lightning magic, it's little help when dealing with his shape-shifting abilities. Whoa, okay, this is a lot. All
right.
How would you recommend I go about making amends? Sincerely, Thaddeus Hadrian of Rakshari.
Okay, wait. So the one brother has lightning powers and the other one has shape-shifting powers?
Yes. Wow. The writer, Thaddeus, has lightning powers. And the bigger brother, I'm assuming? No, just the brother, the other brother, mm-hmm. has shape-shifting powers.
A notorious prankster with shape-shifting yes. powers.
Sounds like Pumpkinhead Pete to me.
But yeah. It does a little bit.
As someone, yeah. So I ask you two, I call upon you two, I summon you two, I beseech you two. One of you has bird magic, the other one has ghost octopus powers or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
What would you do? Would you unleash your powers on each other? Like, you got to make amends, but your two powers are just constant. It's like what happens when the immovable object means the unstoppable force, you know? Yes.
So it feels... It certainly feels like the prankster brother really enjoys getting a rise out of Thaddeus Hadrian.
Yeah.
It sounds like the prankster brother really enjoys this sort of banter between the two of them with pranks and things.
Mm-hmm.
But being a notorious prankster and a shapeshifter, this other brother has like the advantage on like the sneaking and the surprising, which can be exhausting. So I can see why Thaddeus Hadrian is frustrated.
I had an idea.
Oh. Yeah.
You could just go around shocking random objects.
Mm.
So you're applying
like inanimate conflict. Objects, animals, yeah. like houses.
Yeah, like lean into your strengths.
Adults.
You can use lightning powers to do things.
Mm.
You know, maybe if you can like use it to control the weather and he's got like some sort of sports game, you could
make it not be good weather for the sports game. Yeah,
exactly.
See, conflict here. I'm thinking, you know, we have some, I don't know what chocolate is in Sphere. I don't know what chocolate is. And I'm not sure what peanut butter is, but the plants whispered those words to me. We got a little bit of a chocolate and a peanut butter situation. And on their own, powerful. They oppose, diametrically opposed. But what if they combined their abilities and did
something? And you start pranking other people.
You got to start pranking other people. Yeah.
You have lightning powers and shape-shifting. You know how powerful the two of you are together? I think you need to broker peace, Thaddeus.
Yeah.
I think you need to cut a deal and be like, we are wasting our potential pranking
on
and
each other.
Fighting each other when we could be out there being miscreants. Pests.
That's a really good idea. Yeah. Right. I think that's the solution we're looking for here.
Thank you. Like, come on, Thaddeus. It's time to make peace. It's time to swallow that pride and be like, shape-shifting brother, I see you. But you're my brother, and I love you. And we need to start combining our magic powers together, and we need to start pranking people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like maybe make a list together, like brainstorm people you could prank that you would both enjoy.
Lists are important. Lists of pros and cons lists, lists of potential targets for prankities.
Yeah, make some agreements together about like trust and boundaries.
Draw up some ground rules. Make sure everything's in writing, because if he betrays you, that is when you break the agreement. But if it's in writing, he can't. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And you have some extra padding there, too, because if he breaks the agreement, then the super cool prank that you came up with together can't happen.
Right.
And like, do you want the cool prank to happen, or do you want to fight?
See?
That's such a good point.
See? Thaddeus, you know what? You're welcome.
I think we nailed that. Yeah. I'm really glad. I'm sad on that one for a little while.
Thank you for listening to Skyjacks, Courier's Call. Cecilia Witwick was played by Aaron Catano Saez, who can be found on Twitter at Aaron Catano Saez or on the podcast All My Fantasy Children. You can further support Aaron's work in voiceover and worldbuilding at patreon.com/AaronCatanoSaez. June Hymnal was played by Allison Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at Dreams to Become. You can further support Allie's creative work at patreon.com/WhimsyArtifice. This episode was also edited by Allison Grauer. Kiran Rao was played by Palomi Pertep, who can be found on Twitter at PalomiSP. You can hire Palomi for layout and graphic design by visiting her website at palomipertep.com. And I'm Drew Merzieski. You can find me on Twitter at WorldsToForge and can further support my storytelling and creative work at patreon.com/whimsyartifice. The original score for this program was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott, who can be found on Twitter at Arnie Parrott. Official artwork was created by Jess Kraczynski, who can be found on Twitter at AngryArtist113. Courier's Call is a spinoff of Campaign Skyjacks on the One Shot Podcast Network. The setting of Sphere was inspired by the music of the Decemberists and the game Illimat by Keith Baker, published by Together Studios. This podcast uses a modified version of the Cortex Prime system, designed by Cam Banks and published by Fandom Tabletop. Skyjack's Courier's Call is a part of the One Shot Podcast Network. Other One Shot podcasts include
Backstory. Backstory is a cozy, thoughtful interview show featuring the most fascinating folks in role-playing. Join host Alex Roberts as she gets to know game designers, LARPerites, scholars, community organizers, and more. From emerging artists to seasoned veterans, guests open up about their creative process, what keeps them engaged, and their visions for the future of role-playing. And remember, while our show is rated E for everyone, this show was created by adults for adults, so listen at your own discretion.
That's all for this week. Until next time, heed the call, couriers. Right wrongs, do mercies, and take flight.
I'll tell you, my children, there's much I don't know, but the wind, she will take you where'er you must go, and it's better to age than never to grow. Sing and wave.